and praise you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
We just want to tell you how much we love you. We just want to tell you how grateful we are.
Yes.
That you gave us breath this morning, that you woke us up. Some of us woke up in our own right mind.
Yes.
Father, we just praise you for the promise of spring that we kind of saw. We got a glimpse of it and we're hanging on to it. Oh, Lord Jesus, the joy of being in your presence captivates me. We ask you to bless each and every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
To let only the words that you give us be spread about out over the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord.
Well, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion Bible class here at Wings Christian Fellowship. This morning, I think we are still in Matthew chapter 13. And where did you say we stopped?
35. We were going to
45?
35.
Okay. 35. Okay. Then it says, okay, they talked about the leaven. Now it says, after that, let's start reading at Matthew 13, 36, and let's go down to 43. That's where it talks about
my turn. All right.
The tares.
All right. So then he left the throngs and went into the house, and the disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the, what is it, darnel or darnel in the field. And he answered, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed means the children of the kingdom, and the darnel is the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed it is the devil. The harvest is the clothes and consummation of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the darnel, the weeds, the wild weed is gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. Did you see it, 41?
43.
All right.
43.
And the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of offense. Persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin, and all who do iniquity and act wickedly, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and they will be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Then will the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, and let him who has ears to hear be listening, and let him consider and perceive and understand by hearing.
Okay, well, you know, I think that is kind of almost humorous, because here's what it says in the Amplified. I'm just going to do like 36 and 37. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him. I can just see this. He says, explain clearly to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And I think, let me do one more. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. At least it was in my mind, because Jesus said, and I, the Son of Man, who am in heaven, that one time when he was talking to him, he was standing right in front of him.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, to me, Jesus is the Son of Man, and all that we, as the body of Christ, will be when we mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that's what we will also be. It's so interesting to me that Jesus came, and he was totally full of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was totally full of the Spirit. You know, we have truth and we have the Spirit, mm-hmm. but we are growing and being processed to grow into what he had. So he's a little bit, you know, he's farther along the path than we are, that's for sure. But this is not something unattainable to us, and it isn't even anything that we can do of ourselves. All we have to do is keep eating of him, and we will grow into the maturity of what he has for us. And he answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. He says that the seed is us. The good seed is us, sons of the kingdom. And the seeds and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. Mm-hmm. Age, not the world.
The age.
And the reapers are the angels. So, as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, which he's told us in another parable about, it all grows up together because that is his will. Don't want to yank out the roots of the wheat when you yank out the weeds. So they grow up together until the fullness of time. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. I think that's enough for me right now. There's so much more in that.
I was looking at where it says, the Son of Man will send forth his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of offense which are persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin,
mm-hmm.
and all who do iniquity and act wickedly.
How deceived,
those that are deceived and are drawing others into their deception and lies and untruth and sin.
Lies and untruth. Deception, lies, and untruth. But in Jesus, the Son of Man, he is the way, the truth, the life. And I don't know, my feeling on this is only my opinion, it is my feeling that those who are deceived and are lost temporarily, the truth can still set them free. I don't know that there is anything, I'm sure that there is one thing, because the Bible says something about the unpardonable sin, which I still don't quite understand. But even if you've been deceived, as we all have at times, even if you've gone, followed after the path of deception, even if times you follow after unrighteousness, there's still, the parable of the son, the good son and the son, what do they call that?
Prodigal son?
The prodigal son, yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, to me there is nothing eternal in something that depends on our perception, our maturity. I think there's more for everyone. Everyone who is deceived still has the power to be taught the truth. I don't know.
Yes, let's just start a little. Every knee shall bow.
Yes.
But But I look at those, I remember a brother Prinzing in one of his writings and talking about those that God has created to do, and they are doing evil, but it's his will. It's fulfilling, well, just like...
just like Pharaoh.
Oh, and when he took the, when he took the 30 pieces of coin, the 30 coins, Judas and that,
mm-hmm.
he was actually fulfilling what God had for him to mm-hmm. fulfill, mm-hmm. to complete what God's will was to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't believe that they're eternally like lost.
Yeah. Till the end of the age.
Yeah, that, because he is really fulfilling what. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, when he says every knee shall, but that's every, that's those that we've looked at committed mm-hmm. terrible crimes and all that. Mm-hmm. I believe each has their day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I'm looking at you, just add in.
I like hearing you guys talk.
To enlarge upon,
to
enlarge upon, to make clearer.
Mm-hmm. You know, the,
well, I'll say this one concerning what you said about the Son of Man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's different words in the New Testament for son or man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this word here used for where he talks about the Son of Man here, what he's really talking about, it's the word weos in Greek, and it's used more in the term of a full-grown son or a mature son,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's technon, which there's other names. There's technon is one of them. And if you go back into the Gospel of John, I believe that the word back there, when it says to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Back there is the word technon, little son.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe on his name, you're immature.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not
mm-hmm.
that makes you immature, but
yeah.
that's a beginning point,
yeah.
in other words. And you have to grow into a place of weos, you know.
Yeah.
To where you become a mature son. Well, Jesus was a mature son.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thought that was coming to me, I've got this this CD, and I don't even know who it's made by because it's a copy of a CD.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a song in it, and I love the song. And in the song, the guy's singing, "We're going up to the high places." And he keeps singing that, you know, "We're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down,"
yeah.
you know. And what he says in the song, he says, what he says is his, the devil, has been ours all along. We're going to tear his kingdom down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a deceiver. He's a supplanter. He deceives you into thinking that you're less than what you are, what God created you to be. And especially since you've been born again. And really, that being born again, you know, he said you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, the water is a type of the Word, you know, and the Spirit is the energizing force that it's the force that comes forth that makes everything happen, you know what I mean? Because that's like the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, you know, people try to break down God into three individual things, and I really don't like that, because it's three aspects of God's nature as far
yeah.
as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
exactly.
You know, Jesus was as much God as his Father was God, you know, because he had the Spirit without measure. If you got the Spirit without measure, you got the Spirit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can't get no more than that. So anyway, so when he's talking about here, you know, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. I love that he came to identify with man. Jesus came to identify with man. And he came to identify with man so that we could identify with God. See, because he was God in the flesh, you know. And until we actually seen God, you know, that one scripture says, no man has seen God at any time. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, Jesus declared him, you know. Mm-hmm. But when he said to his disciple, he said, when they said, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient. Mm-hmm. And he said, have I been with you so long and you didn't know me?
Yes.
I mean, you don't get no clearer than that. Have I been with you? You know, don't you realize that what I'm doing, it's all the Father? And you know, the Spirit is like the wind, you know. It is the wind. And actually, when the Spirit moves upon something, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They're in the upper room. They're in one accord. And what happens? What's the first thing that happened? A mighty rushing wind. And that mighty rushing wind was the presence of God coming into that room, or being exposed in that room. It might have been coming out of them. Who knows? I don't know exactly. But they were baptized. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost then. And what really happened there was, it was cloven tongues of fire set upon their head. You know, and that gave them the anointing to speak with the fire of God, basically, because when they went out and spoke to all of the people out that were, there was people from all different nations out there, and then when they began to speak out there, everyone heard them in their language, mm-hmm. you know. So, man, that's powerful. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that that's been repeated in our day at all, you know, to where you would, but God can give you ears to hear through even another language, you know mm-hmm. what I mean. But we know that also that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a prayer language. It was given for us to edify, you know, to pray, actually to pray without really our natural mind necessarily knowing what was being said. Now, the scripture tells us that when you have that happen, you're supposed to pray and ask that God give you understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, but I'd rather speak a few words
yes.
and that you can understand mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. 10,000 words basically in an unknown tongue, because you don't understand it. And, you know, the thing about it is I believe that even with Christians, you should pray whenever someone speaks in tongues. You should pray for interpretation.
Yes.
Everybody should start praying for interpretation. And what you'll find will happen a lot of times is God will give the interpretation if you pray that way. I know when I was a pretty young Christian, I was at my grandfather's funeral, you know, and my aunt, she was holiness, you know, holiness type thing. When, you know, I went to church with her a couple of times, and they get pretty wild, which is okay. I mean, if that's what they feel like God has them doing, I don't have no problem with that. But, you know, they get pretty wild. But anyway, so when we came out of the church or whatever, you know, and when she got outside, she broke out speaking in tongues. I mean, in front of everybody, mm-hmm. you know. And I felt like the Lord gave me the interpretation of what she said. And when we got in the car, I didn't say it out loud there, but I said it to her because I felt like she needed to hear it. Mm-hmm. Because she had a tendency that anybody that didn't line up to what her view of Christianity was, that, you know, maybe they weren't really saved, you know, like mm-hmm. if you was a woman and you wore pants or something, you mm-hmm. you know, or you cut your hair, or, you know, because that was, they had all them traditions, you know. But anyway, when I got in the car, I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you what I feel like you just said by the Spirit, you know, out there. I said, I felt like that the Lord said, surely my son is in my care now. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say anything. But I think she always doubted if her father was actually, he was a mean man when he was young. I mean, he was pretty mean, you know. He lived back in 1800s, you know, up until he died. He was like 80, I think, when he died. He was he died back in, I'm gonna say, probably back in about 1960 something, somewhere around there. You know, I don't remember exactly, but anyway, he was a rough guy. I mean, you know, he down in Kentucky, it was pretty wild down in there. I mean, there was almost no law, and you know, people took the law into their own hands. And my mother told me stories of him sitting up on the porch, because he lived up on the hillside, and there was a creek down below their house, pretty big creek, you know, and somebody was down there shooting guns, you know, going up the creek. And she said, he said, if they fire that gun one more time before they get around that bend, he said, I'm gonna kill him.
He's gonna kill him.
He's gonna kill him. That's what he said. And you know what? He probably would have done it.
God didn't let him.
No. I mean, you know.
Nobody would have found him.
No, I mean, you know, you gotta realize that was my mother was born in 1921. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was in the real early 20s, and it was still, you know, it was moonshine and all that stuff was going down in there a lot. I don't know if he was into that much, but he was a pretty mean guy. He was a dead shot with a gun. I mean,
that's how they fed the family.
I mean, he was a dead shot. I mean, he used to smoke Prince Albert tobacco, and actually, I'm gonna be quiet. I don't wanna take up his whole thing. But he used to smoke Prince Albert tobacco in the can, and he'd roll cigarettes and he'd put it in his pipe, you know, and smoke it. And he'd throw them cans up on the side of the hill by the house, you know. And a lot of those cans had bullet holes in Prince Albert's head. Prince Albert's head is about the size of a bullet. Wow. I mean, he was a dead shot, man. He was accurate. I mean, you know. And I never saw him when I was a kid without the butt of a gun hanging out of his pocket, you know. And them people back in them days, they you know, especially when they weren't in the city, you know, they lived in a little place called Big Creek, Kentucky. You know, it wasn't in the city, but he gave his life to the Lord eventually, you know, when he was an older man. And
that's great.
And
because it wasn't, he probably didn't raise her up the way she believed.
Well,
so
that's right.
Doubted,
see, and he wasn't holiness, you know, like what she got into, and stuff, and you know. I mean,
I think it's beautiful, and God.
Then God gave the interpretation.
Yeah, and it was for her. It was for her. See,
and when the spirits flowed through her, yeah.
And now whether she received that or not, I don't know, because she was so set in her ways. You know what I mean? And she used to worry about my mom and my Uncle Wiley. You know, my Uncle Wiley, because they have believed in deeper truths, you know. And she was always telling some of her other brothers, I just hope Irene and Wiley, you know, get to heaven.
Yeah,
and all
people don't know.
My mother would wear pants and stuff, you know what I mean.
Yes.
But people don't know.
Two sweeter people.
Other people's relationship with God.
Right, right.
Because I know when my dad accepted, I was telling brother, because they came down to church before at Elmwood with me. And I was telling brother, I said, you know what, there's a difference in my dad. Because boy, he'd fight in a minute, and he would talk to me and cuss, yeah, and he always protected his older brother that stuttered. He said, boy, sometimes I fought every day, you know, he was saying, coming up in school. And I said, but he's never said anything to me, but I see the difference in him, how he talks and how, and they were going to church and how he raises hands. They were going to a Baptist church and that.
Yeah.
And he said, he's not gonna tell you, Brenda, I've accepted the Lord, because he feels like he should have accepted him before you did, and you would be following in the footsteps of his relationship. And he said, just look and believe and accept what
right.
God has done in his life and is doing. And he may never say anything. He didn't, but I knew there was the difference. It was like, yeah.
Well, that's like I say, you know, you got some of those areas that people lived in. When we live in a more modern time today, you know, and I mean, you know, I grew up in the 40s, you know, from the 40s up to present day, you know. So that was, you know, we seen and saw things that people have never seen that are young people, you know, and they'll never truly understand some of the things that we saw as we were growing up, you know, and stuff. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. But anyway, that Son of Man thing there, the word for Son of Man there is, it's literally the word weos. It means a more mature son. Anytime they refer to Jesus, he's almost always referred to as weos, you know, and it's not... technon. Technon was a lesser, you know, like a smaller version.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
I was looking at where I always have. I like to take a good strong look whenever I see things like the devil and this kind of thing, and it took me back to where. Because in the Strong's, it actually was the same word.
Mm-hmm.
The devil tempted Jesus, as the one that says the devil in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am always taken back to where, you know, the devil came to Jesus and tempted him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get a good understanding of it. Do you think that the devil who came to Jesus and tempted him, took him up on the top and said, you know, go ahead and jump off because, you know, the angels will lift you up. Was that a part of the Adam nature? I mean, were there actually two people up on top of that mountain, the devil and Jesus? Or was that even still somewhere a part of the nature of Jesus?
Well, let me tell you this. Jesus was not born of Adam.
Was not born of Adam.
Of Adam.
That's true.
As an Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Mm-hmm.
His father was not Adamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you were recognized by your father in the mm-hmm. In the Old Testament all the way through. You weren't recognized. You see very few women, other than women who had a special anointing on them in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
that you followed your father's, you know, lineage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the natural today, other than a lot of people have perverted that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say perverted, I mean they just don't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a woman marries a man, what's her name become? Whatever his name was, you know.
Yes.
And there's a spiritual principle in that, see. And I really don't like to see women not take their husband's last name
mm-hmm.
because... They're going against the grain when they do that, you know. And I mean that's up to them, you know. But I'd rather see them follow what the order, the proper order of things. But anyway, you know. So you have to realize Jesus was born of Mary. She was the vessel, but the Holy Spirit was his father.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, he was not really of the Adamic nature. But because he was a man, you know, he would come as a new creation man.
Mm-hmm.
And let me, and you said, when you were talking about taking him up to the pinnacle of the temple
yes.
and all that.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, and I'll put it to you like this. If I said to you, close your eyes,
mm-hmm.
and I start talking about Florida, and I start talking about the ocean and all this kind of stuff.
You can picture.
You are transported to that place mm-hmm. immediately. You start seeing it in your mind
mm-hmm.
because you've been there, you've experienced that. You guys had a time, you had a house down there that you guys went to. So what happened, I believe, with Jesus was, is that he had the spirit without measure, but also that tried to pervert him, you know what I mean, in the sense that, you know, it fulfilled all the scriptures that, you know, he will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone, mm-hmm. you know, and all that kind of stuff. I believe all that. I don't know if that actually happened, you know, physically, but it happened spiritually. And you know, he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin,
yeah.
you know. So, but he was a new creation man. He was not, that's why we have to be born again, because as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And, you know, we have to realize each man after his own order, it says, you know, basically. So you have to realize, I mean, you can agree with that or disagree with it if you want to, but that's the way I see it. I mean, because Jesus was the beginning of a new creation. He was not of the lineage of Adam. He was of the lineage of his father. Mm-hmm. But he lowered himself. And that's like that scripture, the poem that the Lord gave me one time. Rich was he, yet poor he became. For he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. Sacrifice he made was one without compare. For he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death, that Adamic nature, brought you from the realms of death to that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how to receive this gift? The answer is simple, you see, for if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. Well, he was the author and finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. But what we have to do by faith, we have to step over into that realm, see, and you know, he paid the price, you know, he paid the first sins of the whole world, but yet we have to receive what he did, mm-hmm. you know. As long as we don't receive it, even though he did it and it's been paid for, all been paid for, then we'll walk in mistaken identity, and we'll walk in condemnation and things that we don't really have to walk in, if we'll just trust him, you know. But, you know, I'm trying not to say nothing today, guys. I'm trying to hold back some here.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here.
But anyway.
Buddy, we haven't heard from you today. You're looking around in there like you're seeing something.
I'm just looking.
Huh?
Like I said, I don't, I'm quiet. I'll sit back and listen.
Okay.
Gather it all in.
Yeah.
I'm like a
that angel. Reminds me of when I first started driving one time, my dad took me out driving, and we had gone around a corner, a left-hand turn, and right around the corner there was a car parked right in my way, and there was a car coming the other way, and my father went, ah! And I simply stopped behind the car, waited for the other car to go, and he said to me, you know, he started second guessing me, and he said, "You look like you've done this before." And you know what I said to him? It was really very interesting. I said, "Dad, I have never, but I do pay attention." And see, that's the way you are, buddy. You pay attention. You can learn a lot, can't you?
Yeah.
I've always been that way.
So it says here that the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. Now the tares are the children of the wicked one. It says up a little earlier right here. The tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of this world. Now if the tares are burned in the fire, a fire is a, what's that word? It's a purifying thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a destructive thing. But all of that hardness of the tear, you know, that has to be taken. But I don't know that, you know, the tear then becomes what? Compost, or, you know, and it still has a purpose and still is a living thing, and it goes into the soil and it grows and it brings forth fruit, you know, but of a different kind than it was before. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion on that.
Cause is not to destroy.
Yes.
No, it's to purify.
I love that, that the fire of God does not destroy. It takes everything back to its original state, which is a better way of saying that, probably.
It releases everything that's in whatever, you know, like if you take a piece of wood and you set it on fire, it releases the gases, the moisture, and takes that wood back to, like you say, carbon, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the original, it's the element, the biggest element of it, you know, it's carbon. Yeah, but it just releases everything else that's in it, you know. And, you know, the funny thing is when John talked about Jesus, he said, I'm not worthy to loose the straps on his shoes or whatever, you know, I'm paraphrasing that. Mm-hmm. He says, But he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And his fan is in his hand, his winnowing fork is in his hand. What his winnowing fork is that he gonna throw you up in the air and let the wind of God blow through you, and he'll blow the chaff away, and the precious will fall back down to the
after
ground.
You've been all run over.
Yeah, it'll get broken. Well, that's how you get it broken. That's how you get the chaff broken, yeah. Run over. And you know, it's funny when you think about that, because they run over it with carts, mm-hmm. and they let the animals walk on it. Mm-hmm. You ever feel like sometimes the animal nature tries to walk on you?
Yes.
It flares up in you once in a while. Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's funny because these things are all so simple, but yet they're not something to where it's so simple that it seems like it can't possibly be true. You know what I mean? And that's why he hides these things from the wise and the prudent. You almost got to have a simplistic mind to even see some of this stuff, you know. And the real educated people have a hard time seeing this stuff. It's got to be complicated. It's got to be something way more harder than what it really is, you know.
Until God opens your eyes. I think about his brother James, real educated, and he. And boy, when God, it was so precious. I would tell him, honey, when we after he had God opened his eyes, and he had such a relationship with God, and Benny would call, and you know, with the two phones, I'd be on one, she'd be on the. He lived in California, and we would share, and we would be amazed at things he shared with us, that God was opening to him. It was so precious, so precious.
Well, even think about that, where it talks about, you know, them about he shall cast them in. Well, how far do we get down? Do we get to 42 yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He shall cast them into a furnace of fire.
Yes.
And one of the definitions of that is that it's a smelting furnace. You know, well, smelting furnace is where you melt metal. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, metal is usually all metals are usually in the rock. You know. Mm-hmm. And they heat it. They heat the rock sometimes to because the metal will come out of the rock, you know. And I'm trying to think of the scripture, but remember when Elijah was sitting by the brook Cherith, and he was being fed by the ravens, and the Lord and the angel of the Lord finally spoke to him and told him to go down to Zarephath, and I'm pretty sure Zarephath's name means like a refiner's fire, or like a furnace, or you know, a place where there's a fire. And he said, there I'll sustain you, you know. Well, you know, when he went down to Zarephath, he met that woman, and God had told him, he said, I've spoke to a woman down there, you know, and she'll take care of you, basically. And I'm paraphrasing it again, but mm-hmm. He gets down there, she don't know who he is. I mean, he comes to her, she's going to fix that little bit of cake for her and her son, and they're going to die, you know. I mean, she's ready to die. So she ain't, and he says, well, take a little meal, make me a little cake first, you know. And she don't know why she did that. She didn't say, oh, yeah, you know, God told me about that the other day. No, she didn't even know why she was doing it. I'm sure there was a part of her where God had spoke to her innermost being. And basically, she was doing something that was contrary to what a mother's nature is.
Oh, yeah.
A mother's nature to look after their little child first. Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna worry too much about somebody else, you know, most mothers. And look at what she did. She made him that, and he told her, because you've done this, you basically, he told her that, you know, the cruse will not run dry, or the whatever, that, you know, the meal barrel will not go. And the cruse, you know, you think of it, it was probably a big barrel of oil or something. It was a saucer. But the saucer, the oil kept replenishing itself. And I mean, that actually means like a saucer and something small. But it just kept replenishing itself, you know. And they had food to eat all the time of the famine, you know, because of that, because of their obedience to the Lord. And, you know, a lot of times preachers don't go into what it actually was, you know, and you think about, oh, it was probably a big barrel of oil, you know, and all. No, it was a little cruise. It actually said it was like a saucer, you know.
Enough.
Just enough.
Enough.
And he's the God of always enough.
It's
always enough.
This is interesting too.
Yeah.
Where it says, the Son of Man shall send forth the angels that will gather, you know, all out of his kingdom, all things that offend. And then we
stop right there for just a second. Where's his kingdom?
Within you.
There you go, see. Mm-hmm. And but yet, and people are thinking that out there. Mm-hmm. Well, he said the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
It doesn't come with observation. So if he's going to take all that out of the kingdom, where's he going to take it out of?
Yes. Even so, Lord Jesus, take it. Yes.
Yeah.
And then it says, and shall cast them into a furnace. That word furnace is really interesting. There is not one negative meaning of that word. It's not negative. It is a furnace for smelting, like Oscar just said.
Uh-huh.
It's a furnace for burning earthenware. And that's what gives strength to the walls of your earthenware, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It has to go into the kiln and be, you know, and all of the water taken out.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're
and then
great.
The third is for baking bread.
Yeah.
It's a furnace for baking bread. Oh, that really, I love every single one of those things. It gets the precious out of the rock.
Yeah.
It gets strength into the walls of the earth. We are his vessels.
Think of the reason why does they put that in the kiln? Like you said. But why was it necessary to put it in there? Because it had dual nature.
Yes.
It had two natures. It had the nature of an earthen vessel, and it had the nature of water, which is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we wonder, well, why would he use that as an example? Am I not the potter, or are you not the clay? You know, and why would he use that as an example? Well, because it's in part.
Mm-hmm.
It's in part.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you got two things, but they're together, but it's in part nature. It's not a full nature.
Exactly.
When he takes the in part out of it, and it realizes it's just an earthen vessel, then that's when it's able to be filled to the brim with the water of God, see? And you can't do it because, you know, until that happens, because if you put water, keep pouring water into it, it'll sag and fall and just...
Yes.
Be nothing.
There's no strength.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
Isn't it great though that when you see that you're the vessel, you're not God. You're the vessel that shines forth with it, his glory,
yeah,
because of the strength of your walls.
Yeah.
And then for baking bread, oh my God, every single one of those things are something that means something to me personally.
Well, let me
and
ask,
it's
let
not
me ask,
something different.
Yeah.
You know.
Let me ask you another question. You thirsty, you go in King Quick, mm-hmm, and you go and you get your soft drink. Mm-hmm. Do you stand around and admire the bottle? No. You don't care nothing about the bottle. You want what's in that bottle. You want that ice cold drink. You're thirsty, you know. And see, that's the thing. But yet, the bottle is as essential as what's inside of it, mm-hmm, because it can't be dispensed or carried without being in that bottle. Mm-hmm. And Scripture says, we have this treasure where at. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I mean, all this stuff is so simple. I mean, it's really, it's super simple, you know. And
if you rightly divide.
If you rightly divide, that's right.
So cool.
So neat.
God is so neat.
And see, the more you start to understand that, the more when you look at these, mm-hmm, things, you don't struggle when you see the kingdom, you know, that he's you know, taking these things out of the kingdom. Well, yeah, he's taken, you know,
right,
we're thinking the natural kingdom, if you just read this right off the surface, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the true meaning there, he's taken it out of the true kingdom. Well, where's the kingdom at? Right inside of you.
You know, and the normal, no, I say normal, Adam explanation is, well, I'm good, and look at those evil people over there. They're going to take those. It's not outside of you. It's all within us, and that will get us away from so much of the judging of other people and their motives. So they're misguided. God can take care of that. Mm-hmm. He's got a furnace for that. Mm-hmm. He's got a furnace for me too. Yeah. And it says, and when you, that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are, when God deals with you and you feel those oxen walking over the top of you and breaking the shaft off of you, it's not fun. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, but you're so blessed when the wind comes and blows that chaff away and the precious comes back down to us.
You know, when I think of it,
isn't it great?
When I think of verse 42, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Oh, right. Yes, I thought of that too.
Right.
But I'm sure that there were people that were saying, talking about weeping and wailing and grinding their teeth. I'm sure there's people outside, you know, just weeping for them and wailing and, you know, that's what I.
Yeah, and what did throwing them into the furnace, what did that do? What did it actually accomplish? It burned their bound up. What was holding them? They were bound up and thrown in there, and that fire released them, is what it really did, and I guess they saw them walking about in there or whatever.
Yes, that's
you know, and the fourth one was what? Like unto the Son of God. See?
How would he know that?
Well,
yes,
there was a part of him,
yes,
that spiritual nature inside of him.
Sure did.
Because after that happened, then he made some decrees about, you know, people were supposed to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, or Daniel or whatever it was, you know, different things. But see, they all know. There's a part of everybody out there who hasn't given their life to the Lord. They know. But they don't know. You know what I mean? Down inside, they know. There's a part of them that's crying out, wanting to be released.
Oh, yes.
And that fire is gonna set them free. You know, the fire of God.
And then let's just go to that last verse, 43. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's gonna be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you're in that. You know. It's all within you. And then, in 43, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth, mm-hmm, as the sun, S-U-N, shine as the Son, in the kingdom of their Father, who hath, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear this. Boy, oh boy.
There you go. And see, that's where we all need to pray. Lord, yes. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak unto us. Even when we read Scripture,
we need
to ask the Lord, because there's always at least three levels of
that's
Scripture.
What this
always
is.
At least three levels.
Yes.
You know?
That's why, first he told it to the multitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then his disciples came and said, tell us clearly what that meant. And he did tell them clearly on some levels. But there's still more. There's the third.
See, there was only a level that they could understand at that point, because they had to grow up in him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though they'd been with him all that time, he still had to really reveal to them things that they didn't understand yet.
When he said he was explaining it to them, the on the second level, but the third level is, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he who has ears, let him hear. I'm not sure that they have ears yet, but it's okay. You know, we're all obtaining.
Well, think about this 44, what he said here. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field. It's hidden.
Yes.
It's hidden in every field out there. They just... It hasn't been revealed to him yet. Unto the treasure hidden in the field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. For joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field.
Yes.
In other words, he's willing to give all back to God, to get that treasure, that true treasure, which is him. He's the treasure. His nature, his presence in your life,
And that verse 43, if you go to Daniel 12, verse 3, it says, and the teachers and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, to uprightness and right standing with God, shall give forth light like the stars forever and ever.
I think in Adam, a lot of pharisaical type people think of righteousness as their righteousness. Well, I'm righteous, But the righteousness that is spoken of in the Bible to me, the only righteousness, the only thing in us that's righteous is God. So when, we shouldn't get puffed up when we talk about the righteousness.
Right.
The only thing. There is none good save God.
It's true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I didn't come in here today expecting to get happy. This has really been an eye-opening class for me just to see the truth of these things. I don't know why God, every single Sunday, doesn't do it for us. Hallelujah. Let's go into the next course. We've had the appetizer, now we get the dinner.
Lord's going to have to cook it.
Buddy, would you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Praise the Lord.
Close us in a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for the word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
This morning in Bible study, we thank you.
So good. Thank you.
That your mercy and grace and your love is forever and ever.
Yes, Father.
Well, as we go into the next service, that your word come forth and speak to whoever it's meant to be for, Father.
Yes, Father.
And we shall not fail to give you the praise and you the glory, Father.
Yes, Lord.
For you are life itself and you are love.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for your gift.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.